Good morning, Stanley County, and thank you for tuning in. This is Half Hour to Health. I'm your host, Dr. Patrick S. I'm a wellness consultant, and I'm also a chiropractor, and I'm the clinic director for Stanley Wellness Center, located right here in Locust, and I'm also the program director for 8 Weeks to Wellness. On today's program, we're going to talk about sugar versus fat. Who's the real enemy, or are they both enemies? So if you're somebody who's been debating whether or not you should switch your diet to like an all-fat diet and start removing all your carbohydrates, or should you continue to eat sugary carbohydrates and starches and keep your fats down to a minimum and do a low-fat diet, or do you have to have a good mix in between? Like, what's the right route to go with regards to sugar and or fat? So if you want to know what I think, then stay tuned, because we're going to dive right into the controversy between sugar and fat. Before we get into that, I do want to let you guys know, if you have any specific health questions or concerns, you can feel free to reach me at www.askdrpatrick1@gmail.com. Again, that's www.askdrpatrick1@gmail.com. You can also log in on my website, where, again, I post a weekly blog regarding some kind of a health topic. And then I also post recipes. Every single week, we put up 3 new recipes, healthy recipes, to help you get on your journey to better health. So you can find those things at www.askdrpatrick.com. So that's www.askdrpatrick.com. And you can also reach us through our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Dr. Patrick S. All right. I also want to let you guys know, in January, on January the 14th, I'm going to be hosting a weight loss seminar right here in Locust. So we're going to do that. That's going to be on Saturday, January the 14th. We're going to do that right at 11 o'clock a.m., and we're going to do that right in the office right here in Locust. So if, again, when after all of these holidays are over and you've stuffed yourself with candy canes and cookies and pies and cakes and treats and whatever it is you might stuff yourself with, and then the new year rolls around and you want to start to, again, commit to losing weight, getting into shape, being healthier, you know, my opinion number one is A, don't stuff yourself through the holidays. It's not an excuse just because it's the holidays. It's not an excuse to overindulge on sweets and candies and treats, right? Because you don't want to overindulge for, you know, 2 months, which it seems like that's what people do. As soon as November hits, people are indulging in foods that they don't maybe necessarily eat that often, but they're doing it, it seems, on a daily basis for November and December. So I say continue to stick to your natural eating plans or your natural diet, unless, of course, you know, you've been changing your diet and your diet's not necessarily the best. So don't feel like just because it's a holiday and you're getting together with family that it's okay to indulge in all of those sugary treats or those candies or those pastas or, you know, all that stuff that we know creates things like metabolic disease and heart disease and obesity and diabetes and Alzheimer's and dementia and all this sort of stuff. But on January the 14th, Saturday, at 11 o'clock, right in Locust, we will start a workshop or a seminar on weight loss. So we're going to help people who are, you know, going to change or make a resolution to improve their health. We're going to show you the steps that are necessary so that you can have a healthy and thin and better you in 2017. So mark your calendars. That's going to be January 14th. It's a Saturday. And it's going to be right in Locust again. All right, guys. So let's go ahead. Let's get started. Let's talk about this sugar versus fat controversy. So it wasn't that long ago that we learned about a researcher who's been looking at some of the old documents from the Sugar Research Foundation from way back in the 60s. He found some documents in which the Sugar Foundation was taking their research and they were twisting some of the results. They were actually paying off scientists to tell the public that sugar was not a cause or had a causal effect on heart disease. So they were pushing, of course, their sugar agenda. And instead, what they wanted the researchers to state in their papers is they wanted to let everybody know that fat was the cause of heart disease. Because as you may know or may not know, cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death, according to the CDC. So if we're trying to limit or reduce causal factors associated with cardiovascular disease, that's what these scientists and researchers were studying. And how do we go about doing that? So they started looking at things like fat. They started looking at things like sugar. And they were looking at the foods that people were consuming to figure out, was there any kind of link? And they actually found links. They did find links that sugars like sucrose can actually trigger an effect on cardiovascular disease, a negative effect on cardiovascular disease. But of course, the sugar industry doesn't want you to know that their product can cause you to die from coronary heart disease. So they do this massive cover-up by paying off these researchers and twisting the data to say that it wasn't sugar that was causing heart disease, that it was in fact fat that was causing heart disease. So in the 60s, this stuff comes out, but just recently is when this researcher from the University of California, he found these old papers and he actually published them in the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine Review. And that's where he suggested that 5 decades of research into nutrition and heart disease has been largely shaped by the sugar industry, meaning it's been twisted, it's been contorted, it's been manipulated by the sugar industry. They were in fact trying to, again, derail the discussions that sugar has any kind of causal link to heart disease. And here's what I find was pretty interesting, actually. So this was back in the early 60s that they did this. And it was the Sugar Research Foundation that actually paid off these scientists. But in the late 60s, the Sugar Research Foundation changed their name to the World Sugar Research Organization. So I find that kind of interesting that after they've finished paying off these scientists and twisting the data and convincing the public that sugar was in fact good for you and not a problem, they suddenly now change the name of their entire organization from the Sugar Research Foundation to, again, the World Sugar Research Organization. Now, I don't know. It sounds like, why would you do that, right? Sounds like a little bait and switch to me there. But in this article that this doctor wrote, what they say is that the Sugar Research Foundation paid off 3 Harvard scientists the equivalent of about $50,000 in today's money to publish this review of sugar on fat and heart disease. And the studies that were used in the review were hand-picked by the sugar group. So they were handpicked by the Sugar Research Foundation as to which research articles are we going to actually publish, which ones support our product, and which ones demonize the fat-based products. And then these articles were published in, again, the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine. So once it gets into these large journals, now doctors are going to start to switch and change their recommendations regarding nutrition. Even governments begin to switch and change their recommendations based upon these research articles. But what I also find interesting, I can't even talk. What I also find interesting is that when the research, the Sugar Research Foundation, paid off these Harvard scientists back in the 1967, in 1968, when they changed their name, if you go to the WSRO.org, if you go to their website, if you go to the World Sugar Research Organization, it says right on their website that they are committed to upholding the fundamental principles of science and to relying solely on objective science in its programs, which it sounds like that's not true. It sounds like they rely solely on paying off Harvard scientists to manipulate data so that they can trick the public into consuming their product and purchasing their product. So kudos to you, I guess, right? Anyway, let's take a short break. For those of you just tuning in, this is Half Hour to Health. I'm your host, Dr. Patrick S. And we're talking about sugar versus fat. We're talking about which of these two are the real demon? Which one's not good for you? Or are they both maybe good for you? So we've just been talking about how the Sugar Research Foundation has manipulated science back in the 1960s in order to make their product, you know, look to be the angel of the two. So if you missed any of the first half of this conversation, you can always go on my website. It's www.askdrpatrick.com. You can go to the radio archives tab, and that's where I upload all of these radio programs so that you can go and listen to it on your own free time. Or you can always go back and listen to things that you missed from either previous shows or from today's program. So again, that's www.askdrpatrick.com. Also, I want to let you know, if you're just tuning in, that on Saturday, January the 14th, I believe was the date, is we're going to be hosting a weight loss seminar right here in Locust. It's going to be held at 11 o'clock a.m. right here in Locust. It's going to last for about an hour. But I know, you know, we were talking about how through the holidays, people begin to indulge. People begin to gain weight because they're eating more candy type foods. They're maybe getting off of their traditional diets. They're making some, I guess, sacrifices from their traditional nutritious diets to these not so traditional diets in the name of just gatherings and events and things of that nature. But come January, that's when a lot of people again make the decision, hey, I want to get back on track. I want to start to take care of my health again. I want to start to lose weight. I want to, you know, whatever the case is. So we will be hosting a weight loss seminar. It's going to be absolutely free. It's going to be on Saturday, January the 14th. So mark your calendar. It will start at 11 o'clock a.m. It will run for about an hour to an hour and a half. All you're going to need to do is you're going to contact us as soon as we get our links set up. You'll contact us via either our email links or our phone, and you can let us know you'd like to attend this workshop. Okay. So right now we're just getting the information out. So you have 2 months to start to prepare for this workshop and to get this in your schedule. Saturday, January the 14th at 11 a.m. right here in Locust at Stanley Wellness Center. All right, so let's go back talking about sugar versus fat. So I started again talking about how the sugar industry has actually manipulated data to suggest that it's been fat all along that's been the culprit. And if we actually start looking at data regarding fat consumption, there's going to be, like if you go to PubMed, for example, which is a scientific research website where they pop up all of these research that, you know, scientists and are performing throughout the world, and you can pretty much look up anything that any scientist is publishing. But you go to PubMed, and if you put in, you know, either sugar, in heart disease or fat and heart disease, you're going to see research that's going to prove that both of these products are actually contributing to things like heart disease. The only difference is when you start looking at some of the fat research articles is they never tell you what kind of fat that they're using in their research. So there a lot of times is they're feeding mice, for example, because mice have a similar digestion to humans. So they feed these mice either high sugar diets, or they feed them high fat diets, or they feed them a combination of both with kind of a moderate level of, you know, sugar and carbohydrates and fat. And then they, of course, test to see if they have any kind of either blockages in arteries, if cardiovascular disease or inflammation or other diseases like brain tissue problems or plaquing or things of that nature is what they're studying and looking for. But they don't tell you in these research articles what type of fat they're using, because there is a difference in fats. There's a difference between saturated fats and polyunsaturated fats and, you know, trans fats. So if they're eating or feeding these animals the unhealthy fats, like the trans fats, for example, then it would make perfect sense that if we were to compare sugar to fat, that of course these types of fats are going to have some kind of a causal link to some kind of cardiovascular disease. So when the sugar industry, you know, even back in the 60s, when they were trying to say that fat was the culprit, they weren't necessarily untrue. They weren't lying necessarily. Because when you do eat a lot of bad fats or trans fats, that you are going to start to see some problems within the cardiovascular system. The only problem, though, is, you know, the sugar industry was trying to put all of the emphasis on fat, and they were trying to hide the fact that things like sugar itself or sucrose itself was also contributing to inflammation in the arteries and cardiovascular heart disease. So the new research, though, that's been out, and I wouldn't even call it new, but there's been a lot more research coming out talking about saturated fats, or these healthy fats, fats that come from things like coconut oils and olive oils, or these other kind of hemp seed or flax seed oils, even oils like omega fish oils, plant-based oils. They're showing you that these healthy oils are actually helping to lower things like cholesterol, lower things like your LDL, so your bad cholesterol markers, improve things like your HDL markers. But it's the trans fats, it's those negative fats, those bad fats, those unhealthy fats that are causing the damage. So when it comes to sugar versus fat, it's what kind of fat you're eating that makes the difference. So is sugar good for you? You know, in small quantities, when you get sugar from fruits, for example, sugars can be very healthy for the body. In fact, the body runs off of sugars. Now, it doesn't have to. The body can also run off of fat. So the body has this great ability to convert fat into ketones, and then your body can run off of these ketones very efficiently. But the body and the brain are also designed to work and run off of sugars, off of glucose. So sugar in it of itself is not inherently evil, but the overconsumption of sugar is really the big problem with Americans today. Because once back in the 60s, once this research came out where they said fat was the enemy and sugar is your friend, they started making everything low fat, and they started, because if you eat food, by the way, if you eat food that's low in fat, guess what? It's not palatable. You're like, ugh, this is cardboard. This is like eating wood or something. This is disgusting. Might as well eat tree bark, right? So it's horrible. So what you find is if you start to add sugar to foods that have very little fat or no fat, that it's much more palatable again, that, you know, people will consume it and people will eat it. And so that's what they started to do back in the 60s and 70s, is they replaced all these fat foods with sugar. So they pulled the fat out and they put the sugar in. And that's where the big problems were starting to come with regards to health complaints. So then you see, of course, an uptick from the 60s. You start to see an uptick in things like heart disease and diabetes and metabolic disease and Alzheimer's disease and all these other inflammatory diseases, arthritis and things of that nature, as a result of this shift, this massive shift in our nutrition. But I'm here to tell you that if you want to consume sugar, you have to just eat the right types of sugar. So if you're getting your sugar, if you're getting that, if you have that sweet tooth, if you have that sweet craving, my recommendation would be to snack on some fruit, some grapes maybe. Maybe you eat half of an orange. Maybe you have, you know, a little bit of banana, or you eat papaya, right? You have a little bit of papaya, whatever it is. You eat fruit because in its natural form, sugar is much less toxic to the body than it is if you were to strip it from sugar cane and process it chemically and, you know, put it in a bag and then put it on a spoon and stick it in your mouth, right? So it's much less toxic to have it in its natural form than it is to consume it in the forms in which these food manufacturers are making it and selling it to you in. So when it comes to helping patients to improve their health, you know, when we start making dietary recommendations, my first recommendation is to start to cut out almost all sugars and carbohydrates. Not because they're all necessarily evil, but because we've been so addicted to sugars and we're so inflamed in our bodies that we need to cut them out in order just to start to help our body to heal again, to move it in the forward direction of healing and repairing and removing inflammation and reducing all the oxidative damages and all of the stresses and all of the coronary, you know, the plaquing and all that sort of stuff. So my first inclination when it comes to helping patients with regards to nutrition is I'm just inclined to tell people, stop eating sugars and carbohydrates as much as possible. And we do that for about 30 days. And that helps people to get through this kind of sugar craving addiction that they've had for the past 10, 15, 20, 40 years, you know, however long it's been, ever since birth, really, because of mom's milk, which has lactose in it. But anyway, that was a squirrel. If we start removing these sugars, then we can start to get the body to function better, begin to heal better. So we remove sugars, we increase the good, healthy fats in the diet, and then we start to actually repair damaged tissues at the cellular level. So that's step number one. But then we do begin to reintroduce sugars back into the diet. But what I don't reintroduce back into the diet is I don't reintroduce these man-made sugars, these artificial sweeteners, and I certainly don't want to go back to traditional sugars either. So these, again, when you're stripping things like sugarcane and manufacturing these things in a plant somewhere, we start to definitely keep these things out of the diet. All right, real quick, because I know we're running out of time. If you just tuned in, this is Dr. Patrick S. This is Half Hour to Health. We're talking about sugar versus fat. What's the enemy? What's the friend? How do we balance these two things in our diet? So if you missed any of what we just talked about, you can go on my website, www.askdrpatrick.com. That's askdrpatrick.com. And you can go to the radio archives tab, and I will upload all of these radio programs that I do in that tab, so you can listen to these at any time. And I also want to let you know again that on January 14th, it's a Saturday, I will be having and hosting a weight loss seminar right there in Locust at Stanley Wellness Center. So if you want to attend when January rolls around and you're ready to make that transition again, and you say, I'm ready to lose weight and I'm ready to get healthy and I'm ready to take charge of my health, then you're gonna want to attend my weight loss seminar on January 14th. It's a Saturday. It's going to start at 11 a.m. It'll last for about an hour to an hour and a half. So we'll give you the information. Stay tuned on the radio program, or you can always take a look at my website, because I'll have that event posted. But start marking your calendars. It's going to be Saturday, January the 14th. All right. So let's finish up. We have a couple minutes left. Let's finish up talking about sugar versus fat. I was telling you just a little bit about earlier. I was telling you how we get rid of the bad sugars, you know, these man-made sugars, things like Splenda and aspartames and NutraSweets and Sweet and Lows. And I mean, these things are honestly, these things are just horrible, horrible for the body. They're worse for you or worse for you than any form of sugars. So when it comes to artificial sweeteners, my recommendation is, again, sprinkle that stuff outside of the house, maybe along, you know, the border of the house if you want to try to keep ants away or something of that nature. But you definitely do not want to consume it. You don't want to drink it in your diet sodas. You don't want to eat it or chew it in your gum. You definitely don't want to have it in any products that you're eating. Do not eat or consume artificial sweeteners. All right? If you're diabetic, no artificial sweeteners. We have to stop that stuff. It's absolutely horrible. Even fructoses like agave and high fructose corn syrup, these are the worst natural sweeteners you can consume in large doses because it again creates things like metabolic toxicity in your body, which of course we know is going to lead to diseases like metabolic syndrome. So high fructose corn syrup, agave syrups, I am not a fan of this stuff. Artificial sweeteners, I am definitely not a fan of that stuff. If you're looking for healthy alternatives, you want things like stevia, okay? You probably have heard of stevia. I mean, I'm sure it's getting mentioned in the news. It's mentioned on websites. Lots of health practitioners and other health advocates talk about the benefits of stevia, how it doesn't affect things like your insulin levels and your blood sugars and that sort of stuff. So stevia, it's a safe, natural sweetener that actually might even be associated with anti-diabetic properties. So when it comes to sweetness, if you have to have that sweet iced tea, what I tell people to do is make your own organic tea at home and add a little bit of stevia. And stevia, because it's very, very sweet, you need just a very little bit of it in order to get that sweetness that you're craving. So for example, if you were to use a whole cup of sugar, of traditional white sugar, you would use maybe a teaspoon of stevia. So if you put a whole cup of sugar in your iced tea, you would replace that with like a teaspoon of stevia to get about the equivalent sweetness. That's how sweet stevia is. There's another sweetener. It's called Lohan. It comes from China, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But that's another sugar substitute that's just like stevia that you can use to sweeten your teas or sweeten even, even sweeten your coffees if you put some sugars or something like that in your coffees. But again, we want to stay away from those artificial sweeteners. Those things are horrible. Other sugars that you can use would be things like xylitol. The only problem with xylitol is that it can have some kind of diuretic properties, digestive issues. So it can start to cause some people to have maybe some diarrhea. So if you consume too much of it at one time, it could upset your stomach. So you've got to be careful even with xylitol. And when it comes to cooking, if you're going to cook with xylitol, my recommendation is usually to use about a third of what you would use with a regular cup of sugar. But I know there's a lot of recipes, if they call for a cup of sugar, they would also then, if you want to replace the sugar, they would call for a cup of xylitol. But I usually find that even that's a little too sweet for me. So I usually do about a third to maybe two-thirds of the dosage amount, if you want to say that, the dosage amount of a sugar. All right, so there you go. Honey, by the way, also very great if you want to use that. I recommend using it in very small quantities, but if you're going to use honey, make sure it's raw and local honey, or you can get that Manuka honey, and you can add that again to like your tea. But there you have it, guys. Sugar versus fat. to me, they're both, again, they both have negative properties depending upon which type you're consuming. So make sure you're consuming the good stuff, the healthy fats, and the healthy sugars. You guys have a blessed weekend, and I look forward to talking with you next Saturday. Enjoy your weekend.